I have something prepared tonight to preach on and teach on, but during our time of prayer, I don't know who said it and who was praying, but I think the Lord changed my mind, and so I'm going to go ahead and do something else, and that is talk to you about what we just sang about. Lord, there are souls that I should win, lost souls for whom you died, and may I never draw back or sin with fear or foolish pride. Years ago, after a Christmas program that we did, an older gentleman came up to me and shook my hand and said that he really enjoyed the program and that I had said something at the very end that he wanted to talk to me about. So, shortly after, in January, I went and visited him and his wife, and eventually they came to church and got saved, and they've been coming ever since. But folks, I'm not going to talk to everybody on Sunday night. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to get everybody talked to. And you won't get everybody talked to. But if you stick around before and after church especially, you're going to be able to talk to somebody. And of course, you can talk about all kinds of stuff. But since they are going to be here and they're going to hear the gospel, perfect opportunity to say, hey, what about that? What about you? And you might not see them get saved. I didn't see Larry get saved that night, but it started something, okay? It opened the door to knock on the door later. And it wasn't until February that he finally was saved, but it started in that Christmas program night. And so I just want to go through and just talk about the gospel. And Romans chapter 3 is where I usually start, because that's kind of where it starts when it comes to what it's about. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we just have to understand that. Everyone has to realize that. And most people are not going to argue that. They know that. They know what sin is. They know that they're part of the all. And so we start there. And we've got several tracts that we have on our rack. And this one here, Someday You Will Stand Before God, is quite to the point. And of course, we have How to Get to Heaven from South Dakota. And I like The Bridge. I think that's a good one. This one here, written by a lady who's now in heaven. She died of cancer. She wrote this as her testimony and left it for people to read, basically saying, when you read this, I'm in heaven, and I was diagnosed with cancer, and I'm going to die, but I want you to read this. And I mean, there's people with cancer. There's people who have relatives right now with cancer that, you know, bad news for good people, good news for bad people. Are you 100% sure? There's six ones that I grabbed real quick, but there's some Christmas tracks out there, and of course, with Christmas card season coming up, I always try to stick a tract and a card and hand out tracts. The piano tuner was here yesterday tuning the piano, left him a track. Different ways to talk to people, but when we're sitting there and they're drinking coffee or they're eating cookies, it's more than just a tract. You can actually ask them, so what do you think? You know, that wasn't just a story. That actually is real life. You know, there are businessmen that act like that. There are young people who don't get it, who don't see the point of Christmas, the point of God and the peace on earth, and how they can't have it and why they can't have it. And so all have sinned. And I like what is said in that story, how that, yeah, there's peace. There's no peace in this world, because they rejected the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And a lot of people have a Merry Xmas. You know, they pretty much X out the whole purpose of it. They don't understand it. They don't get it. It's just Santa Claus, or it's just Happy Holidays, or it's just a time to take off and have fun. And I'm not saying that we need to go off into politics or we need to go off on other side issues, but just the main point. How about you? If you were to die today, where would you go? If you were to die, would you be in heaven or would you not be in heaven? Would you be in hell? And you say, well, what if I offend them? Listen, I doubt you will offend them, but the Bible might offend them. But if the Bible offends, let the Bible do its work. Because the Bible says that it's like a hammer, and it breaks the rock in pieces. How many of you got saved the very first time you heard it? No. In fact, probably you got agitated the very first time you heard it, or at least curious or troubled. And it was over a period of time through a sequence of events, maybe a loss of health, maybe a loss of wealth, something rattled your cage or refocused you to look at things differently. And so Romans 6:23, see, after I show people that we're all sinners, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what we have coming. And I don't know that this will fit into the program story when we talk about it, but I've seen the bumper sticker. You've probably seen it too. No, N-O, no Jesus, no peace. But then K-N-O-W, no Jesus, no peace. That's really the message. And knowing Christ makes all the difference. But not having him, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a blessing that you have a testimony. Maybe you got saved as an adult. Maybe you can say, you know what? God transformed me from the inside out when he saved me. I didn't have peace. Some of you can say, you know what? That's not just a story. That's my story. I mean, I didn't have peace until I got saved. And up until then, I was very frustrated with this world. Just like Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who wrote those words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And the hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And he was just observing the real facts. And this was written 150 some years ago, and yet it's no different today. In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. And there's people like that. And so I'm not saying that everybody's the same, because they're not. But Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Lead me to some soul. Help me to say the right thing and just to drop the right hint. And in our story that we have, if you were here for the practice, one person at the coffee shop says something. Another person says something. And it all goes together. And yet those two people did not know each other. But God used it. And so don't be afraid or upset if you say something to someone Sunday night and you never see them again. Because that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't go with them. The Bible says that his word does not return void. And when you plant the seed, it will eventually germinate. And it doesn't necessarily have to be you and I that sees the results, is it? And that's part of our problem. I know it's part of my problem as a human being, is that one of the things that discourages me from witnessing to people is that they don't get saved right in front of me. Well, isn't that kind of selfish? Because isn't that me kind of saying, well, I do it more if I would see more results. Yeah, but is that the reason to do it? How about just planting the seed knowing that it's really God, you know? You've heard me talk about Cassandra out at Star Academy years ago, and how that I was pretty impressed with myself when Cassandra got saved, because I thought, man, I must have really made such a clear presentation of the gospel, and she just, boom, you know, wow, I mean, just, I'm really something. Only to find out that, no, Cassandra had a neighbor named Andy that had been telling her all this for years. And what Andy did over in T, South Dakota, caught up with her over in Custer, South Dakota. So never be afraid to give the gospel and not see a result or to be discouraged by it. If they stomp out the door, you know, as long as it wasn't because you were arguing politics or making fun of their hairdo or something, as long as it was because you just gave them the gospel, don't be afraid of that. One verse I was going to read tonight was, you know, if you suffer as a thief or a murderer, that's terrible. But if you suffer as a Christian, don't worry about it, you know. And yet, I don't think that that's going to happen. What I think is that you might cause someone to be troubled inside only because they know it's not right. They need to be troubled inside. God said to Saul, it's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? You know, the pricks is what they need. So let's not be afraid to give them something, give them the truth, and give them the gospel. And even if it pricks, And even if it doesn't result in a salvation, in our view, that doesn't mean it we wasted the time. You know, I've often thought of this, and I think this is not necessarily a real positive way to think of it, but I thought that this is a fact. You see this one here, someday you will stand before God. Here's the reality. When I talk to someone about the Lord, I know that the vast majority don't receive it. And if they don't receive it, maybe they'll receive it the next time. You know, my family and I are going to go on a Christmas break here in a little bit, and we're going out to Boston. In Boston, there's a guy named Jay who goes out subways, bus stops, busy street corners, and he's got a little display and a little placard, kind of like we do for the biker booth, and he's just reaching people all. And so I said, Jay, we don't have that all the time in Custer. So our family wants to spend a little while with you on a certain day and do that with him, and we're going to. And yeah, the vast majority aren't going to listen. They're not going to receive it. However, you know what I have to remember? It's not a waste of time if I talk to 1,000 people and not one of them gets saved. You know why? Because this is the truth right here. And one day they will stand before God, and if nothing else, if no other positive thing, he will say to them, there was a guy from Custer, South Dakota that talked to you about this once. You see what I'm saying? In other words, we just be faithful to what we're supposed to do, and even then it still honors God one way or the other. And we don't let people discourage us, and things can be discouraging. You know, a while back I wrote something about the idea of being a homosexual and a Christian at the same time, which is an oxymoron. I got a hate letter yesterday from it, or 2 days ago. But you know what? That person's agitated with truth, not with me, with truth. Now, that person, I should pray for them. I should remember that they've got issues that they need resolved. They probably need to be saved. But you know, it's our job to witness. It's not our job to save people. We can't save people. But it's our job to try to see them saved and desire for their salvation. A while back, this story is starting to float around on social media. It's probably about 106 or 7 years old now, this story. But when the Titanic sank, Pastor John Harper was in the water, and he was floating back and forth in the water. And Pastor John Harper had given his life jacket to someone else. He said, "Are you saved?" And the man said, "No, I don't know." And he said, "I know the Lord. Do you know the Lord?" "No, I don't." He said, "Here, you need this more than I do. You need to stay alive. I can drown before you can." Talk about... And John Harper would float over here, and he'd say, and he'd witness, and then he'd float back over here. Have you prayed yet? Have you asked Jesus to save you?" "No." "Well, you need to." And he'd float away. He died. They saw him. Some of them saw him. He just got hypothermia, and he finally just went under and never came back up. He died in that cold water. He'd given up his life jacket. He'd given up his place in a boat for others. And years later, they had a memorial service for him. I think it was in Canada. I don't remember. And someone stood up in the back of the room and said, "I was there. I was one of the people he was talking to. I'm his last convert." That's something. But that attitude of, who cares about me? I just need you to know the truth. Listen, one thing I was going to talk about tonight, I won't, but love speaks with no uncertain sound. Love is very clear. In other words, if you love somebody, if Gunner's in a burning car, hey, I hope I don't offend you, but you might want to get out. That's not love. Love is, get out! And grab him and yank him out. Drag him through the broken glass, cut him all up. But love is very direct. Love is very, hey, I know what you need, and I'm not afraid to risk the cost that it's going to be to me for you to understand that. And besides everything I've already said, what about the person who goes home and they say, good grief, no one's ever talked to me that direct before. They weren't ugly, but they just gave me the truth. What if that's what people need? What if people have had too much of a dose of Mr. Nice Guy, you know? And instead of the verse saying, you must be born again, it sounds more like, it would be a good idea. It doesn't say it would be a good idea to be born again. It says you must. You must get out of this burning car. You must be rescued. And I am not expecting anybody to jump up on top of a table and preach a 3-point sermon. But I hope that you'll be praying and asking the Lord to give you the right words to say to someone and to lead them to the Lord. Whether they pray with you on Sunday night or not is not my point, but that they would hear the gospel, that they would allow it to sink in and that God would penetrate their heart and that they would listen. I'm only regretful for not saying more and not being more direct than the other way around. Now, after I've showed them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, I like to talk about works, because I think in our world, in our America world, the biggest problem is works. Bad news for good people. Hey, I'm not saying you're not a good person. I mean, I'm sure you're a good person. But did you know that good people without Christ are, it's a slap in his face to say that you don't really need to pray for salvation. You have to trust in him. You have to trust in him and him alone. And on the other hand, it's good news for bad people. I mean, whether they're prisoner in prison right now or whether they're the finest citizen of the town, they need the same gospel. And so the Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, is a gift of God. It's not of works. Lest any man should boast. Last week, we just had a man get baptized, but he did not get baptized to go to heaven. He is already trusting in Jesus. The baptism was just as a public display for everyone else to see. Whatever we can think of to try to encourage them to understand the gospel. And then, of course, they need to understand that the wages of sin is death means death and hell. And Revelation 20 says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When it comes to the gospel, the word whosoever comes up a lot. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. But then also, whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. But then it says in Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I would love for people to come back to church and hear more of the gospel. But folks, typically, most people don't get saved on Sunday. They get witnessed to somewhere other time, at work, standing out in a parking lot. Some of them get saved on a Sunday after church, maybe an invitation. But a lot of people, they already were won by the time they got to church, by a coworker, by a friend. And so understand the importance of saying, hey, I'd like to get together with you sometime. I'd like to visit with you more about. And then, of course, you can come. You know, come back Sunday. Come for the Christmas Eve service. Come and hear more. But please... please don't tell them we have just a great coffee bar, you know. We have a great espresso bar. Some churches do. We have a really cool pastor. He's hip. No, they don't. You don't have a cool pastor, and he's not very hip. A lot of churches try. Look, it's not about trying to entertain. It's just about telling people the truth. We don't have to be ugly, and we don't have to be as stiff as a board and as boring as can be. And if you want espresso coffee, put it in the kitchen. I don't care. But the point is this, is that we have to just tell them, look, it's not anything, it isn't marketing. This is just, you need the Lord. In fact, you need the Lord, and it doesn't matter if you even come to our church. Some people over in Oral that I was talking to a few weeks ago, I said, I'm not sure you're ever going to come to our church living over here, but that's not my point. My point is you need to get saved so you'll die and go to heaven instead of hell. And they need to understand that we care about them. We're not looking for some more people to come to church here. We're not looking for someone to fill the seat. But we're desiring for them to know the Lord. And that's our goal. And so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It can be you. It can be anyone. And some of these children that you saw singing tonight, you could say, they've trusted Christ. Some others haven't. And I like to talk about the bridge, you know, and there's this bridge tract, but the idea of a bridge is an illustration of faith. You know, you gotta walk out on that bridge. That's faith, to trust that bridge. And you gotta trust Jesus. There's nothing else that I can trust in and get to heaven. It has to be him and him alone. It has to be him. And who knows? We don't know, but whenever I discuss with people their need for salvation, there are times where halfway through the conversation, I'm thinking to myself, "Boy, I am so boring," you know. But you know what? It's not me, is it? And there'll be times where at the end of the whole thing, they're just amazed. I'm amazed that they really understood or they soaked it all in. And then I'm reminded over and over again, it's not you and it's not me, is it? It's just the Holy Spirit. We just have to ask God. And so, you know, you can pray while you're staring at somebody. You can pray on your feet. Nehemiah was on his feet, and he prayed right on his feet, right there in chapter 1. And so when I'm talking to see, a lot of times I'm like, Lord, please help me. Help me to just say the right thing. And if nothing else, just convey to them that this is serious and I do care. And that they'll want to ask more questions. And apparently I, at the end of that program several years ago, apparently something was said that Larry said, I want to talk to you about that. You know, it was something there. And I don't remember what it was, you know, but it was something there. I want to discuss that with you. And we're able to visit and to talk. And God had just, I think God was working behind the scenes and opened his heart so he was ready to receive the gospel. Now, again, will everybody respond positively? No. However, even if they respond negatively, and even if they act like they're very offended or whatever, the truth is this, there'll come a day where they'll say, I know so-and-so, if I could go find them again. That Baptist church in Custer, now I'm over in Mississippi, but at least that Baptist church, that seemed, maybe I should go, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be this one, does it? But just something that sparks their memory that they want to go back and find the truth and discuss it. And so even if we don't see the fruit harvested, maybe we're on the seed planting end. There's people sitting here in the front. They understand the seed stuff and the fruit stuff. Okay? And there are sometimes probably you have employees that have a part in the seed stuff, and they're not even with you by the time the fruit stuff comes. But that doesn't mean they didn't have a part in the whole harvest. And that's what you and I have to remember, is that we might just be planting a seed the next time we talk. We might not be on the fruit end of it. I like to think of, my friend, my dad's friend who wrote this tract, I heard him tell this. He said, it's kind of like picking melons. You know, you grab the vine and you pull, and if it pops, it's because it was ready. If it doesn't pop, it's not ready. And so if it doesn't pop, we don't force it. We just set it back down and wait till it's ready. And that's what I'm saying is, not everybody I talk to is ready, but then once in a while, oh, they're ready. They want to hear more. They want to discuss more. And all I'm saying tonight is, and the Lord just impressed me to talk about this instead of whatever I was going to talk about, is that let's not just have a program. You know what I mean? Let's not just fill up the room and have some songs and have a general message to everybody. But let's afterwards say, hey, maybe this is a little awkward for you, but what about you? You know? And if you'd like to know more, please see me. And can I share something with you? Can I show you? Can you read this for me? I'd like to visit with you more. Can we go out for coffee? Can we just get together sometime? He said, well, Pastor, I'm not the pastor. The Bible does not say pastors are supposed to be soul winners. It says all of us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us. And to have an opportunity and have a desire to have an opportunity, praying for an opportunity to share with someone about the truth. Some people will never respond to an invitation. Years ago, there was this guy. He said, you keep asking to raise your hand. I'm not going to raise my hand. I said, why? Because I don't want to be embarrassed in front of all those people. I said, listen, man, if you raised your hand and you came forward and we talked and prayed in my office, people would be so glad. Oh, that's embarrassing. One day, I saw him down at the Valley Motel. So I swung in there with my preacher friend, and we went in there and we started talking to him. And he stood out in the middle of the parking lot of the Valley Motel and prayed for salvation. And afterwards, I said, Tom, I said, you didn't want to pray at church because everybody would see you. So instead, you stood right out in the middle of the parking lot with people driving up and down the highway praying. And there was like all these other people looking out the motel window at you while you're doing it. I was teasing him. Some people, they aren't going to respond to an invitation, you know. And the mistake you and I make is, well, the preacher said, you want to get saved, come forward. And they didn't. Well, I'm off the hook. He already invited them. No, don't think that way, okay? Cassandra, after church, we were out here in the foyer talking. And I said, hey, do you really understand? And we sat down by the lamp over there and we talked. And she... It was after church, after invitation. You know what I'm saying? Don't just assume that the formal invitation is their only hope. It's not. And we should never get to that point. We should have an invitation ready for anyone at any time. And so, strike while the iron's hot. And while they're swimming right there around the bait, go ahead and jiggle the hook one more time. And pray about this coming Sunday. There's going to be some parents here that have never come to anything here, ever. But I know they're coming because their kid is in the program. That's on purpose. And so think about it, you know. And you say, but Pastor, they walked out mad and they're not even going to let their kid come back. You know what? We have to decide that God's in charge of that. I think some of the greatest salvation stories are the ones where they fought it and fought it and fought it and finally they just broke, you know? So don't be afraid of the ones who fight it. Don't be afraid. But let's pray that God will use us this coming week.